So this is the stupidest thing we've ever done. Okay,
this
we've done
the stupidest thing we've ever done.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been doing this show for over 5 years, and this is the most excited Willow has ever been to do an episode of this show.
Yeah.
For the I'm only doing this because she said if I didn't, she would do it herself. Which is impossible because she doesn't know how to upload an episode of the show. But I still succumbed to the... Well, why don't you explain what and why and what is going on?
Okay. Hi, guys. So this is not an episode of the show, technically. Technically, it's an episode of the show, not an episode of the show.
Yeah.
A non-episode.
A non-episode.
To be fair, we've done movies outside of the... you've done movies outside of the Ecstasy of Influence.
To be fair, they were tangentially related to Guillermo del Toro.
You know, I'm sure there's a way. This has vampires in it. Guillermo del Toro's done a vampire movie.
He's done vampire stuff. Several couple, vampire things.
Yeah, several vampire things. So we're going to be talking about Morbius, the living vampire.
But why? Tell them how this came about.
So here I was crying in my bed because I was in pain. And I was like, I would need to watch some movies. And my dad had brought up the fact that he'd watched Morbius previously, and I was like, do you have the movie?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I can share it with you on Plex or whatever. And I was like, great. And so I start watching the movie, and you know, I have no respect for people's day jobs.
You do not. You have none respect.
So I was texting him the entire time, and then he started watching the movie too.
Yeah, because, you're only a few minutes into it, and I was like, fine, what's your timestamp are you at? And so you tell me, and so I skip ahead on my computer to that timestamp.
Yeah, and then we start watching Morbius together, and we're just texting the entire time.
I am in the middle of work, by the way.
Yep.
And I end up watching the entirety of Morbius again with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is an activity usually reserved for movies that we are doing for this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just this movie upset me so much that I was like, we need to do an episode on this.
Yeah, there's a lot to I think there is a lot to talk about with Morbius beyond just how bewilderingly bad it is at doing anything it tries to do. I want to go on the record right now as saying that I find it a somewhat enjoyable movie. It certainly has a lot of panache, and it's trying things. It's not lazy in that sense, I don't think.
Yeah. Has Matt Smith in it.
It has Matt Smith in it playing
the Doctor.
Yeah, playing Matt Smith. Doing the one thing Matt Smith does on screen. I don't think Matt Smith's a very... Oh, by the way, I'm Phil.
And I'm Willow.
And it's kind of Del Toro time. We're not doing an intro, so that's the closest it comes to it. We're covering Morbius. 2022's Morbius. A movie outside of time that was supposed to come out years ago and got pushed back because of COVID, and then it got pushed back because of other movies, and then it got pushed back because people were like, wait a minute, maybe this movie isn't actually very good.
And then they're like, we'll just release it, it's fine.
Just release it in the theaters. Everything else seems to be doing well in theaters. Why not release it? This movie did okay. It cost between $75 and $83 million to make. And the reason I think the budget is so nebulous, well, all movies' budgets are nebulous, but because they kept having to go back and rework it, like, it just kept inflating. But it made $163 million at the box office, which isn't a runaway hit at all, but it is roughly twice the budget, which is considered a hit. So they could make a follow-up to it, and
they've
justify.
Certainly set up a follow-up
Do you think but it's no, it's like Venom cost about $100 million to make, and it made $850 million. Like, that's what they were hoping for. They were hoping for another Venom, but they did not. They did not receive that.
You cannot get another Venom, because Venom is awesome because Eddie just looks like complete garbage the entire time.
Yeah, Venom has a wild sense of humor about itself, which I don't think is necessary to make, but Morbius doesn't have a sense of humor about itself at all.
Which is ridiculous because it should.
And that's the Jared Leto of the whole thing, I think. A man who mm-hmm. takes everything he does very seriously. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's a fancy actor, but he's not a fancy actor. He's just a hack.
Yeah.
Who can...
He can do the acting.
Yeah, he's a decent actor. I mean, mm-hmm. no, I don't think anyone will ever say that Jared Leto isn't a good actor, but he prides himself in being like method, and you don't need that for this, my friend. You just...
Stop drinking human blood. You don't need to.
Just make snarly faces and be sincere when you need to. Like, that's it. That's all you need. I think these movies... Well, we don't need to keep casting Jared Leto in Thing, by the way. Which is one of the reasons I did not... Spoiler alert. I didn't pay to see this movie. I have obtained it nefariously, and that is the only way I was going to watch it.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone in the world, but I'm not supporting Jared Leto's career in any way. Morbius.
Morbs. It's the Morb.
Directed by Daniel Espinosa, a Swedish film director, a Chilean-Swedish film director. Mm-hmm. Best known, I think, for the movie, maybe it was it Easy Money? Safe House was a really big hit. His Denzel Washington, Ryan Reynolds movie. He did this movie called Child 44, which is based on a novel that I read, a serial killer novel. It's a terrible movie. And then he made
the novel.
The novel is fine. The movie is very different. They changed the plot a lot. But then he did a movie called Life in 2017, which got mixed reviews, but did pretty well. A horror, sci-fi horror movie. Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen that movie.
Yeah, it had Jake Gyllenhaal in it, Ryan Reynolds.
Yes, yes. I loved that movie.
Yeah, it did okay. And I think that's where they were like, well, this guy can do like sort of body horror, science fiction, you know, sort of a mash em up, which is definitely what Morbius is. It's a horror science fiction character. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you familiar at all with Morbius the Living Vampire before we went into this?
Nope. I mean, you told me about, like, because I had brought it up when I saw a preview.
Yeah.
And you told me about it, but that information didn't stick in my brain at all, so.
Yeah. So I'm another spoiler alert. I'm easy to please. Like, I'm pretty easy to please when it comes to movies. I don't try to predict movies. I don't try to go into them with any preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. So when Morbius was announced, I was like, everyone was like, ugh, why are they making a Morbius movie? And I had like friends who were like, whole bunch of sucks going to come out of this. This is going to suck so bad. And I'm like, why? Like, Venom was fine. Venom's fun. Like, there's no reason Morbius couldn't be fun. Like, and everyone made this huge deal about the fact they're like, what? Nobody wants a Morbius movie. And I'm like, in my mind, what plays over and over again is nobody wanted an Iron Man movie. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely nobody when Iron Man was announced, I was like, who the heck is going to go watch an Iron Man movie? A third tier Marvel character that nobody cares about. Like, no one knew who Iron Man was. No one knew who Iron Man was. Only comic book nerds cared about Iron Man. Like, literally, that's the truth. And when I heard it was announced, I was like, there's no reason. I didn't like Iron Man as a character. Like, and I read the comics. I was like, he's fine. He works fine within like the context of the Avengers. Mm-hmm. But who is going to watch a movie about Tony Stark? Well, they pulled it off.
Yeah. They did it really well.
And
they made an entire universe out of it.
They thought that the Incredible Hulk movie was going to be the big hit because everyone knows who the Incredible Hulk is. But Iron Man was such a hit, they had to rush a sequel into production. So ever since Iron Man, I've just been like, I don't know, Guardians of the Galaxy was a hit. Nobody cared about the Guardians of the Galaxy. Nobody cared about Rocket Raccoon. And there you go. So after that, I was just like, you can make a successful film out of any character. Like, just do it right. You do it right. You sell it correctly. And there you go.
Yeah.
And the other argument is, well, they're villains. Like, no one cares. Like, you can't just make movies about villains. And I'm like, of course you can make movies about villains. People make movies about villains all the time and they're fun. Look at Disney's whole track record with, like, their Maleficents and their Cruellas. Like, you can do that and have them be the heroes of their own movies. Plus, Morbius in the comics has always been a little bit of an anti-hero. Like... Mm-hmm. You follow Morbius. Like, yeah, he kills people. He's a vampire, but he's a tragic vampire. And that's interesting, right? People like that, right?
He's not Dracula.
He's not Dracula, who is also a Marvel character. Like, Dracula is a main character in the Marvel vampire universe. But you could do it. Like, you can make it. People love tragic vampire stories. Like that's, the, you know, and
yeah,
and the concept of Sony doing a Spider-Man villains universe. To me, there's something interesting about the concept, at least, not the execution, but the concept of
yes.
What would the Spider-Man universe look like if all the villains were created, but there was no Spider-Man to stop them? And the fact that without Spider-Man, the villains accidentally all become heroes, to me, is an interesting concept. Like, if it wasn't for Spider-Man, these guys would actually have become their own superhero team. Like, he actually might have been the linchpin that kept them villain. Just leave them to their own devices and they're eventually kind of going to become anti-heroes. I think that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Call me crazy. You can
no,
do that.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I'm all about villains.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, just keep villains as villains because, you know, I like the evil. But things like Venom and Morbius, I'm like, have them be just, they're surviving.
Yeah.
They're surviving.
They all need to eat people at some point or another to keep living, but they're trying to do good. And it is kind of like, it is kind of Sony creating its own universal dark universe of monsters. Mm-hmm. It's what Universal tried to do. They're making a universe of monsters. These are classic Hollywood monsters. The tragic beasts who hide in the shadows. Like that's what they're doing. And unfortunately, I don't think Morbius quite tries to do that. Like it tries. It's got a little bit of that, like, the Wolfman, like, I have to fight my own nature. But it's a mess.
It's a whole mess.
So, tell us a little bit about, what is this movie about?
All right. So, let's start from the beginning.
Oh, we're already off to a bad start.
Yeah. So, the movie opens at a hospital for children?
Sure. Why not?
They have a rare blood disease.
Mm-hmm.
Causes them to be their legs not to work properly.
Yes, yes. It's the leg disease.
Yes. And a new boy has appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, new boy. He's being shown in by Nicholas. Is that his name?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
The old man who was like the father figure throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he's sat down and the guy's like, so this is Lucian.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, cool, Lucian, that's your name. Awesome.
Yeah.
How many times did they say Lucian in this movie?
Like 5 times. He gets called Lucian 5 times. And why?
Because they call him Milo throughout the entirety.
Why does Michael rename Lucian Milo?
No idea.
Which is weird and stupid. So Lucian, the character of Lucian, spoiler, who ends up being played by Matt Smith, is based loosely on several different characters from the Morbius comic book, but none of them completely. It's based on, like, there's one guy who turns into one of his enemies. There's a guy who also was, like, his first victim, but was his childhood friend. But none of them are really this character, but I feel like they kept writing and rewriting this role over and over again and basing it over like a million different characters until it kind of just became no character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is the best part of this movie, though.
He is, I mean, to one degree. I liked the character of Martine. I thought she was pretty.
Yeah, she was pretty good.
She's pretty good. But so we right off the bat, we're in this. It's a very quick, choppy, like, flashback. Does this happen before or after the cave with all the bats?
This happens after the cave with all the bats.
Right,
man.
Because that's not... Because we start with our main character, Michael Morbius, going to a cave and cutting open his hand and all these bats flying at him.
Oh, yeah, because I made the joke, or I was like, why would you open your movie with the thing most people in the world can't stand to watch?
A person slicing open their own hand.
Yeah.
Why? And I am asking this of every single superhero movie in the world. Why? Or anything involving blood. Why would you risk slicing open the part of your body that has so many important nerves that if you damage will make your job exponentially more difficult, which is the human hand? I worked with a girl who's a bartender and she cut open her hand tending a bar on a piece of glass. Well, actually a glass exploded in her hand. because it was hot and then got a cold in it. Glass exploded in her hand, cut open her hand. She had to undergo months of physical therapy to get the use of her hand back, paid for by the restaurant, by the way. Mm-hmm. Props to them. But that was the point where I was like, oh, cutting your hand is a pretty big deal, especially if you cut it deep enough to gush blood. If you're a scientist and a doctor.
We have a whole movie called Doctor Strange about why your hands are important. Important.
I thought you were going to say, we have a whole body that has access to blood. It's called the rest of your body. You could cut open your pec, your bicep, anything, and get access to blood, not the palm of your hand, in any case. So in actuality, the first like 8 minutes of this movie is him slowly walking up to the mouth of a cave, holding up a handful of blood to get bats to come at him. Also, why not just crack open a vial of blood?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why is he at this cave?
Because he's getting these bats.
Why does he need these bats? There's vampire bats everywhere.
No, there's vampire bats in one place, and it is this place, and... This isn't okay. So vampire bats aren't huge. They aren't vicious.
No.
They don't suck human blood, and they aren't killers. They're a pest at times.
And they can like disease your wildlife.
Right. They can
your livestock.
They can spread disease, but they're not mystical creatures. They're just a pest, and they attach themselves to cows in the middle of the night, and they drain them of, like, they don't drain them of blood. They lap up their blood, and they aren't fast. They're slow, and they aren't predators. They're just bats.
Yep.
But they can take down a creature nearly 10 times their size, according to Michael Morbius.
This is a very scientific movie.
Yeah, it's very scientific. So we see him get it, like, swarmed by bats, which they apparently capture somehow. We don't see that part, but then this whole thing between Michael and Milo is a flashback, an extended mm-hmm. flashback. And then we see Milo like get beat up by bullies, and Michael Morbius is like, I'm gonna fix our leg problem. Mm-hmm. Flash forward again to him rejecting the Nobel Peace Prize
for artificial blood,
for inventing an artificial blood. And now he has a girlfriend who is awesome, named Martine, who is from the comics. Yes.
She's awesome.
Yes, played by.
Unfortunately, she's in a coma for most of this movie.
She's in a coma for most of the movie. That's why she's dead for most of the comics. Mm-hmm. She's played by Adria Arjona, who is a Puerto Rican actress, and who's very good in this movie. I like watching
her.
She's
good.
The performances in this movie, more or less, are decent. Mm-hmm. Did you know that we had seen Adria Arjona before?
Oh.
You and I. We saw her in the Belko experiment, which you and I saw in the theaters.
Yeah. That was such a fun movie.
She is one of the lead performers in the Belko experiment, which is funny. So in any case, yes. So we already have, now we have our main character, our central characters, more or less. Michael Morbius, who is a world-renowned doctor who has created artificial blood. Lucian Milo, who is his friend.
Who's somehow like a billionaire now.
And also his adopted brother. That was something I didn't quite pick up on, but I've seen him listed as Milo Morbius in a lot of places. Apparently he's also his adopted brother. Did you get that?
Nope.
So I'm going to... So spoiler alert for the rest of this discussion. This movie... is chopped to hell. Mm-hmm. This movie was edited and re-edited so many times. There are whole subplots and scenes that were cut and reconfigured.
Mr. Robot Arm.
We're going to be discussing a man with a robot arm down the pike who no longer has a robot arm.
But he does, because he brings it up.
He brings up the fact that his arm was healed, and in one scene, you see his robot arm because they couldn't be arsed to fix it. But yes, Tyrese is in this movie, and Tyrese Gibson, and he plays a character who, along with Al Madrigal, have very little bearing on this movie, but who apparently had a lot of bearing originally on this movie, because Tyrese talked about his character having a robot arm and superpowers and is going to shock and surprise the audience when they see what he can do. I was not shocked or surprised, because what he does through this whole movie is stand around and talk. Mm-hmm. But we'll get to them. So are you ready to get morbed? Because I'm assuming that at some point in this movie, we're going to get morbed.
We're going to get morbed.
Yeah. We get a Flowers for Algernon sequence.
That means
Flowers for Algernon is a story of a mouse who is given an experimental treatment.
Who
becomes hyper intelligent, and so a man is given the treatment. But then you watch the mouse go through some stuff, and you realize that what the mouse has gone through is going to happen to the man. Anytime that happens in a movie, and it happens a lot in these movies, it's a Flowers for Algernon because the mouse is called Algernon. So there's a mouse. What happens to the mouse?
The mouse dies.
They give him,
and then it comes back.
It comes back, and we're like, hooray! This treatment worked because the mouse is now healthy.
We don't actually see what happens to the mouse after that, though.
Don't we see? Yeah, we see the mouse has broken out of its cage and has eaten another creature. It's attacked another creature.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it totally happens.
Are you sure you're not thinking of iZombie? Because that happens in iZombie.
No, it happens in this. I swear to God, it happens in this.
I don't remember this at all.
And she sees it and she's like, oh no, doesn't it?
I don't think so. She just gives him the treatment, and that's the first time they get an inkling that anything's wrong.
I thought it happened in this. I thought we saw the mouse.
I don't recall. I could be completely wrong.
Am I thinking of another movie that I just saw where this exact same thing happens? I'm looking up Morbius Mouse right now, and all I'm getting is there's a thing actually called the Morbius Mouse, which is making this very confusing. Okay, there is a type of mouse called the Morbius Mouse, and... in any case, who cares? The fact is, he does the treatment himself. He becomes the living vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he kills a bunch of people.
Now, don't think this happens quickly. It happens almost 30 minutes into the movie.
Yeah. Because they're on a boat in the sea.
Right.
Because laws don't matter in
Laws don't apply in the sea. Also, there's a little girl who also has the Jared Leto disease, and he has to put her into a coma. Mm-hmm. And then we never find out what happens to her after that. He sits with her a little bit. She never comes back.
She had some good lines though at the beginning.
Yeah, she was a sassy little girl. She is your Hollywood little girl with quite a sassy sassafras mouth. Mm-hmm. He's keeping up with his friend Milo, who is played by Matt Smith, and Jared Harris is continuing to play the doctor who treats them.
Matt Smith looks like a grandpa throughout the entire first part of this movie.
Right, they both have legs don't work disease, so they use these like crutches. These like two.
Well, I'm not talking about their crutches. I'm talking about the fact that he's dressed like a grandpa.
He dresses in his pajamas for much of the movie, but don't worry. If you're worried that we won't get to see shirtless Matt Smith dancing around, we will definitely get to see shirtless Matt Smith dancing
around. I need
to
say this because it's important. Matt Smith is the least sexy man alive.
Tell us more about this.
Okay, so Matt Smith, he's an attractive man. Like, mm-hmm. He's a nice looking man. Mm-hmm. He's not sexy. He looks like a grandpa, like a young grandpa.
Mm-hmm. He always has. The first thing I ever saw him in was the Ruby and the Smoke miniseries, and where he was playing a teen boy. And when I first saw him in that, I was like, why did they get this old man to play this little boy? And he has always looked like a strain. He looks like a made-up character.
Yes.
Yeah. And
I don't know. There's just like something about his, like, he's not sexy.
Right. He's anti-sexy.
Yeah. But he's still good looking.
He's good looking, but he's just not sexy. I would say he is the least sexy Doctor Who.
Yes.
Including all the old men who played Doctor Who.
Exactly.
Because you're right. Matt Smith like sucks sexiness out of a room. And it's not his fault. It's not that he's unattractive. He just isn't sexy. Neither is Jared Leto, by the way. So we have two unsexy men playing unsexy vampires.
But also supposed to be sexy?
But they're supposed to be sexy. I think they're supposed to be sexy. I think you're supposed to be like, they're dangerous, but kind of sexy. That's my theory anyway. So
yeah.
Michael Morbius takes the treatment.
Spine juice.
He gets injected, I guess, vampire juice into his spine. Vampire bat juice.
Oh, I'm specifically vampire DNA, as they said.
Yes, they've...
Which you don't...
Yes.
You don't just say that. Mm-hmm. We're doing tests on vampire DNA. No, you're not. You're doing tests on bat DNA.
Bat DNA. These aren't genetically modified bats.
No, they're just bats.
They're not radioactive bats. They have not been exposed to gamma rays. These are just bats in a cave that do their thing. They're not super bats either. They're just bats that live in a cave.
So we assume that there was supposed to be at some point a mention of the cave being like a mystical, like legends or something, because the dude was really freaked out when they went to the cave.
Right.
But there's never any mention of, like, these being special bats.
Right. It just says that they're in Costa Rica and they're, I guess, like, particularly maybe dangerous bats. Mm-hmm. Which is like, okay, but there's a lot of dangerous animals in the world. But somehow him injecting himself with vampire DNA is supposed to cure his legs don't work disease. And so it does cure his legs don't work disease, but it also has repercussions, which is?
You're a vampire.
So they're out in international waters with a bunch of villains.
Yep. Why did they hire these villains?
It's like they hired, like, let's get 10 of the worst miscreants, hand them machine guns and tell them to protect us. I don't know what's going, like, why these men are on their boat. Like, why are these men on their boat? I'm asking you to tell me.
No idea. I think, okay, so here's my theory. Theory time with Willow. When we first see Milo as an adult, there's a bunch of Russians with him because he beat some Russian dude at, like, cards or something, and they were impressed by his luck. That's the excuse we're given.
Great.
I assume that Milo maybe funded the trip.
He totally did. That's why he visited Milo. He's like, I think I can figure out how to cure our disease.
Yeah.
I need your money. Again, why Milo is wealthier than I don't understand all of this. Like, Morbius is a Pulitzer Prize winning, I mean, Nobel Prize winning research scientist who's researching a cure for this disease that apparently afflicts little girls as well. Like, not just him, but like little girls.
He keeps denying the money. That's the problem. Because the lady doctor, what's her name?
Martine.
Martine brings it up. She's like, we need funding. You can't keep denying our funding. And he's like, but I haven't figured it out yet. And I refuse to accept money unless I figure it out.
Right. I can't accept money for my research until I've figured everything. I don't understand any of this. The whole point is to get them into international waters. So the whole point is to surround him with people you don't mind dying. Because after they sexually threaten Martine, they just hand these guys machine guns. We don't know what they're guarding against. They come downstairs and the guy's like making threatening comments to Martine. Mm-hmm. Michael Morbius goes full vampire. And I'm going to applaud them giving him full Morbius face. Like, Morbius, the living vampire, is a grotesque looking character. And they make him look grotesque with like pug nose and like creepy eyes and long fingernails. He looks like a monster. And then he just attacks and drains all of these guys. And then he's like, no. My humanity. So he's like, I'm gonna just live off of synthetic blood as well as I can, which I fortunately invented.
Yes.
But also, like, Martine gets knocked out. Mm-hmm. She's batted aside, and this is where
she is knocked out by a man with a gun, not by Morbius, because we cannot have Morbius hurt anyone innocent.
Right. And Morbius is like, no, I'm a monster. But also I have superhuman strength. And I'm really fast, and I have bat powers, like echolocation. Yes?
Not how echolocation works. That made me so upset.
So how does echolocation work for Morbius the living vampire?
So he makes his eyes go all funny, and then, like, he can see.
And then he basically has daredevil powers. Mm-hmm. He can just sort of hear everything going on in the city. And he has to learn how to, like, shut out and, like, listen to, like, only, like, the bat. Like, he's basically Superman. Like, he can hear everything, and it's overwhelming. So he has to learn to focus on people who need help or something. But this is where the FBI gets involved. FBI agents Simon Stroud and Al Rodriguez.
The most important characters in this movie.
Yeah. So Simon Stroud is an actual character who goes, like, way back to the 70s just a brief little bit of Marvel history. Until the 70s, basically the 70s, Marvel comic books in America were not allowed to have things like vampires and werewolves and Frankensteins and mummies.
And Dracula? Like,
they literally were not allowed to have these. It was against the comics code. You could not, in comic books that kids were going to read, have monsters like this. They were too scary, too violent, too against the code. finally in the 70s, those rules were relaxed. And that's when Marvel was like, here come the Monstars. And they created Morbius, Living Vampire. That's where Blade came in. That's where Dracula was. All these characters. But Morbius was created because they were like, well, to ease ourselves into it, he's not going to be a supernatural vampire. He's going to be a sci-fi vampire. His powers came not from being bitten by a vampire, but from scientific experiments. He just happens to be like a vampire. Like, that's how they justified it. Mm-hmm. But pretty soon they were like, we're gonna split these characters off into not comics, but they had these large format comics. And I know for a fact that your mom read these large format comics. She used to talk about, I think, reading like Conan comics or something, because in these large format comics, because they were not the size of comic books, they didn't count as comic book. So you could get away with a lot more stuff. Like in the Conan comics, you could show busty women and you could show people getting their heads cut off. And so Marvel was like, we're going to put our monster characters into these magazines, as we're going to call them. And so these were comic magazines. A lot of them were in black and white. But Simon Stroud was a character in these. He's a mercenary. In these comics, he was a mercenary, not an FBI agent. But he would team up with like Spider-Man and characters like that to hunt the monsters. So he hunted Morbius. He hunted Man-Wolf. You heard me. He hunted Man-Wolf.
Is that like Man-Bat, but a wolf?
Yeah, like Man-Bat, but a wolf. He hunted Man-Wolf, who was also John Jameson, who is the son of J. Jonah Jameson, who got his werewolf powers by going to the moon or something. He was an astronaut, and he got his... So it's all sci-fi monsters, in any case. And we know that werewolves are going to be introduced into the MCU, because Werewolf by Night is going to be a character. He's going to get his own Halloween special this year. It's a big deal. So in any case, what I can see is, so this character, Simon Stroud, is introduced into this movie now, played by Tyrese Gibson. And what do we know about how the character was originally filmed? We already gave it away.
He was supposed to have a robot arm.
You see it in the trailers. You see it in one brief little glimpse of a scene in this movie, kind of in shadow. He has a robot arm. And what does he say later on about his arm?
It got hurt in Iraq.
In Afghanistan. He was in Afghanistan.
And it was healed with the artificial blood.
Right. Thank you. Thanks to Michael Morbius, his arm was healed with artificial blood. Presumably it was also turned into a robot arm. That's or a cybernetic arm or a cybernetically enhanced arm, something. I assume that it was supposed to like shoot lasers or be super strong or something. Having an arm, a special arm, doesn't seem like it makes you much of a superhero, but whatever. Like, we got a who had
Tell the... that to the Winter Soldier.
I guess. But he is also like a super soldier. Yeah. But also like, what's his face? Claw in Black Panther had like a cybernetic arm, a really cool cybernetic arm. But he also wasn't a superhero. He was a mercenary in any case. So this is where we get introduced to these two characters. I would go out on a limb and say that Al Madrigal's character that Tyrese Gibson, Simon Stroud is just boring. Al Madrigal's character, Al Rodriguez, is embarrassing. I'm going to say he's actually an embarrassing character in this movie, because he's not only useless, they also try to make him funny, and it's bad news. He's not funny.
Nope.
He also doesn't know how cats work, because they go looking for Morbius's girlfriend at one point, and they go into her apartment, and he picks up the cat's litter box.
Oh.
What does he do?
Oh, yeah. He shakes it.
And he goes, kitty, kitty, kitty. And he shakes the litter box. And he goes, she must have taken the cat. Does Al think that cats will come to you if you shake their litter box?
Apparently.
It's not a food dish. Cats
won't even come to you if you shake a food dish.
Our cats come to you if you shake their food dish. But it's a litter box. You don't pick up a litter box and go, kitty, 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 kitty. And the cat comes a running like, oh. That'd be like me like walking into the bathroom with like a stick and like tapping on the toilet and being like, Willow, ding, 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 Willow, ding, 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 ding. Like, you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, I do like a toilet, don't I? However,
what are you doing?
If I shook a box of like Nerds and called your name,
I'd be like, that's demeaning, but give me those Nerds.
But give me those, you would still come. You would still,
yeah.
Just like a cat would be like, this is demeaning, but I do want to eat some food. Now I know how to get your attention. Nerds are pretty good.
They are.
They are pretty good.
They're just sugar coated in sour stuff.
Yeah, but that's pretty good. And if you suck on them, you just end up with a mouth of crystallized sugar.
Yep.
Just big sugar crystals. Did you know that they made a Nerds cereal?
Oh, no.
When I was a kid, there was Nerds cereal. And I don't know, are you even familiar with how Nerds used to be packaged?
Nope.
Because usually what you see now is the little tiny like Halloween boxes mm-hmm. of Nerds. Nerds used to be packaged in a larger box, obviously, that was divided in half. Mm-hmm. And one side would have one flavor, one side would have the other, never the twain shall meet. And so you could open it from both sides and pour out whichever flavor you want. That was the gimmick, Nerds. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they were called Nerds. But they came out with Nerds cereal, which was packaged the same way. You had a bag, a half bag on one side filled with one flavor and a half bag filled with the other. It wasn't fun. Like, it wasn't actually as fun as you think. It was wasteful of packaging. But, and they weren't very good, the cereal-wise. No. Nerds cereal. But they did the same thing later on with Nintendo's. Nintendo, it's a cereal now. Where one side was Mario cereal, and one side was Legend of Zelda cereal. Never the twain shall meet.
What if you took the divider out?
It was still, like, two separate bags. Two, like, long bags.
What if you poured them into the same bowl?
You could pour them into the same bowl. There was no law against it.
You got killed.
You would immediately die. The cereal would explode. No, you were just stuck in the weird world where you're like eating Mario and Link. You're like, and it was like, it wasn't actually shaped like Mario. Like, they were shaped like mushrooms and like Triforces of Power. Like, that was it. But
I know for a fact that there's mushrooms in The Legend of Zelda.
There are mushrooms in The Legend of Zelda. Okay, they have done some crossovers. You could pretend you were playing Super Smash Brothers or whatever. Super Smash, whatever it's called. Even though this was years before that even existed as a concept. So if you had told childhood me that one day Mario and Link would be on the same screen together, I would have called you a liar and an idiot, and I would have pushed you off the roof.
Why are we on the roofs to talk about this?
That's where we would go to talk about Super Mario and Link. Talk about Nintendo.
Anyways, we're supposed to be talking about Morbius.
Al Madrigal. Terrible character. None of this. Okay. Again, I'm not trying to just hate on Morbius. I'm trying to tell you that it simply doesn't work. None of this mm-hmm. works.
This would have been a great miniseries if they had kept all of the plotline stuff in.
Yeah. Yeah. So Al Madrigal and Tyrese Gibson walk around and confront characters and have no bearing on the plot.
No. They arrest Morbius at one point.
Do you want to know something embarrassing?
Sure.
Matt Smith agreed to do this movie, even though he had resisted the pull of the MCU, because mm-hmm. Karen Gillan, who was his partner in crime on Doctor Who for many years, mm-hmm. told him to take a role because the MCU had done her career's wonders. Mm-hmm. And Nebula, her character, is one of the greatest arcs in the entire yeah. MCU. Nebula is a fascinating character. They did so many wonderful things with her. And Karen Gillan's a great actor. She made the role her own. But I love the arc that Nebula makes from the first Guardians of the Galaxy up through Endgame. It's amazing. And she's a heartbreaking character. Mm-hmm. She never betrays the character. You watch her have the arc on her own terms. It's amazing. And I can see her being like, Matt Smith, you gotta take a role in these Marvel movies, man. It's gonna revitalize your career. And him being like, you know, I've been asked to do a role in this, a role in that. I'll finally take on one of these cartoon comic book characters. What's this? Morbius, this looks like it could be a good role for me. Takes it, and this is just, it's just bad. It's just bad news, because he finds out that Morbius has become Morbius mm-hmm. and is like, you have to let me take the cure. Why won't you let me take the cure? You've discovered Morbius. And Morbius is like, because it's a terrible disease itself. Yes, I'm strong and sexy and strapping, and I can leap and fly, and I can, but it's terrible. What a curse. And Matt Smith's like, I'm going to take it anyway, bruv. And he does. We don't see him take it, and we don't know nope. how he gets his hands on it. And apparently it involves being strapped down and having a shot given into your spine, which I guess he got one of his Russian friends to do. We don't know. All we know is the next time we see him, he too is a living vampire. Only he yes. is evil. It makes him
Why
evil.
Why is he evil? No idea.
Because he feels slighted? Because he feels put upon? I don't know. He was... never gave any hints that he was a bad guy, except for
no,
the fact that
he was like,
he does hang around with horrible Russians with guns.
That's true. But like, the only thing we see that's, like, slightly eh is him continuing to beat up a bully after he gets freed from the other bullies. But, like...
That makes sense.
He's a preteen boy. What do you expect?
Yeah, he was beating up his oppressors, which is fine. The only clue that the only thing we can think of, I remember talking about this, Autis, is that he's just tired of being called Milo.
Yeah.
Because that's not his name. He was renamed Milo as a child for no reason by Morbius. His name is Lucian, which is a fine name.
Yes. Better than Milo. No offense to all the Milos out there.
No offense to all the Milos. And we do stan Milo from Milo and Otis, the dog. Or was it the cat? We don't know. Milo and Otis. Are you familiar with Milo and Otis? Milo and Otis was a movie that was, I think, released by Disney in the late 80s about a little pug dog and a little kitty cat named Milo and Otis. Live action. Who go on adventures trying to get from one point to another. I don't remember. But it's
I think I've seen this movie, actually.
It was narrated by Dudley Moore. It's a redub of a Japanese film, I believe. So they got the rights to this Japanese film. They redubbed it, changed the plot, re-edited it. But it's notorious because, like, all the pugs and cats died in the filming of this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, they kept killing dogs and cats making this movie. Super controversial. But Disney bought it and released it anyway. Milo and Otis. That's all I think of when I think of Milo. And Dudley Moore in the trailer going, Milo and Otis. And the fact that all these dogs and cats died. In any case, yeah, Milo becomes a terrible person. He becomes a terrible, terrible vampire.
So, okay, I want to talk about this real quick. Because okay. Mr. Morbius, Dr. Morbius, is very uppity. About not drinking human blood.
Right.
And also not having killed an innocent person. And I'm like, that's great. What would you, like, because you were completely out of control. Good thing you were surrounded by literally the worst people when you first transformed.
Yeah.
Because you were completely out of control.
Yes.
You would have killed Dr. Martine if she had been the only person there. I don't understand why he's all, like, I get that he's upset that Milo took the cure. But he didn't really stop him.
Yes. Yeah. Like, yes. Yeah, that's the thing, is from this point on, the whole movie, you mentioned that at one point Morbius gets thrown in jail. Mm-hmm. He's let out. How does he get out? I don't even remember how he gets out.
He smashes the glass with his super strength or something.
Yeah, he gets a little bit of, he gets some blood into the prison. He gets snuck some blood or something, and he smashes
it. Milo gives it to him.
He smashes through the wall because he is the strongest boy. And Milo has murdered a nurse in the hospital, but that's right, because everyone thinks it was Morbius who killed her because he's a living vampire. And Morbius, so at this point, the movie just becomes Morbius trying to stop Milo.
Yes.
Who is just eating people now. He's just flying around. He's Dex does a sexy dance.
He takes
off.
The worst song ever.
What is this song again?
I can't remember what it's called. It's bad, though.
It's this terrible song that I thought was just saying have sex, but it's not just saying have sex. I thought it was going have sex, which is like the funniest lyric I could think of for a song. But it's not saying have sex. It's saying something else, excess or something. But Matt Smith takes off his shirt and does a long dance to it. It's long. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's like wiggling. He's pasty and he's like wiggling and doing like a lot of like things with his shoulders. And Matt Smith played the lead in American Psycho, the musical, in London and I think in New York. He was cast as the lead in American Psycho, which I always thought was weird casting. But Matt Smith's kind of an intense guy.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is all stuff he did as Patrick Bateman in American Psycho. Mm-hmm. I assume that there was a lot of shirtless dancing in that. I don't know. But that's kind of a Patrick Bateman thing. It's like... Mm-hmm. Look at me, I'm super sexy, but I'm also a sociopath. And everyone being like repulsed by him because he's not actually super sexy because he's a sociopath. Mm-hmm. But we get to watch it. And then he does dancing later on, too. He dances around a lot later on. Mm-hmm. The rest of the movie is just Michael Morbius chasing Matt Smith.
And Matt Smith not taking it seriously.
Right. And they fly. Morbius.
And the flying is the best ever.
I do enjoy the flying. You hated it.
I loved it.
They do this weird thing with like stink lines, like vapor trails, like coming off of them, like sort of blobby. There's a lot of criticism for the visuals in this movie. I actually like them. I think they were, again, that's that me going, they were trying to do something. It may not have completely worked, but they were trying. Like they were like, let's make this look different at least.
They look like they're flying squirrels going through the air.
Because they are. Because the idea is that they have hollow bones now. Because,
why?
Because they have bones like bats. They're lighter than air bones, which is why they can fly. So their bodies don't weigh anything.
But they're very strong, and smashing through a brick wall, you can do that with hollow bones.
So the idea is that you see him, you see Matt Smith running at, there's a scene in the subway where Matt Smith is running at Michael Morbius. It is about 45 minutes long because it's all in slow motion. Matt Smith looks hilarious. He's like, Matt Smith gets this vampire monster face that is the most CGI thing in the world. And his mouth opens really big and he has pointy teeth. And it's ridiculous. It's very fun. But he's running in slow motion at Michael Morbius. So Michael Morbius is like, wait a minute. And he's feeling the air currents as the train is coming down the towards them through a tunnel. It's pushing the air ahead of it, and he's feeling the air currents with his hands. And you're supposed to he's putting together, wait a minute, I'm lighter than air. Wait a minute, the train is pushing the air ahead of it, creating a stream. Wait a minute, if I jump into this stream of air, I can fly along the airstream and I'll be as fast as a train. And so he just sort of like throws himself in front of the train, catches the air and rides it. That doesn't explain how he rides the air for the rest of the movie.
Nope.
But he is. He's like a flying squirrel after this. Yeah. Like they sort of glide on the air.
They look very fun.
Yeah, it looks fun. It looks fun. It's fun to be a living vampire.
He does not get damaged by the sun, though.
He does not get damaged. I think he could.
They make a joke.
And what's funny is I think he does get damaged by the sun in the comic book. I think he does get damaged. If I remember. And I don't remember. In any case, they did Morbius in Spider-Man the Animated Series in the 90s because he's a Spider-Man character. But they weren't allowed to show him be a vampire. They were like, that's too upsetting for a children's cartoon. We can't show him biting people's necks and draining them of blood. So instead, he had sucky hands. He had little, like, his hands had, like, sucky mouths on them. And he would put his sucky hands on you and, like, drain you of your essence. Which, to me, is more upsetting.
That is more upsetting.
That you have, like, hand mouths that suck you of your soul. But they couldn't show him putting his mouth on anyone. That's too much like a vampire. So yes, Michael Morbius. So there's just a lot of fun. Oh, and what's her face has woken up by this point.
Yeah, Martine.
Yes, and what is she has helped him develop a
murder
cure.
Murder
for
it's a murder
vampirism. Which,
and you want to know what it is? It's murder.
Yes. How do you give it to someone?
You stab them with it
in their heart.
In their heart.
Which, as we have pointed out in many vampire stories, is also how you kill
anyone,
everyone. That's the cure for, if you're just trying to kill this guy, you just stab him in the heart. Mm-hmm. And yes, this movie just then becomes the same thing, the same problem I have with the Venom movie, which is, and a lot of Marvel movies, which is the end is just a fight between the hero and a bad version of the hero. And we saw that a lot in earlier Marvel movies where Iron Man was fighting someone in a bigger Iron Man costume, or the Incredible Hulk was fighting a bad version of the Incredible Hulk. There wasn't a whole lot. Venom fights evil Venom. Venom fights Carnage, who is an evil Venom. Like, and that's to me like always less than interesting, even if it's in a decent movie.
That's why I like the Spider-Man villains so much.
Right, because Spider-Man doesn't fight evil Spider-Man. He fights father figures.
Yes, exactly.
Milo has kid. Does he kidnap? What's her face? Does he kidnap Martine?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he bites her or attack something. I don't remember what happened. But
you never see what happens. It's just a really, 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 really sexual phone call. So, or not a phone call. It's because he knows that Morbius can hear.
Right.
And it's weird.
Yeah. As you said, Dracula's not sexy.
No. Because Martine brings up Dracula.
Right. Who is, remember, an actual character in Marvel Comics.
Yeah. And I can't remember why she brings up Dracula. I don't know. All I remember was me being like, he's not Dracula the entire time because she's like, turn me into a vampire. And he's like, no.
Right. So he's also, Milo has also killed Jared Harris, Dr. Nicholas. He slashed him in the stomach and pushed him really hard. And then Morbius shows up. And
he calls Morbius. Jared Harris calls Morbius instead of, you know, an ambulance.
Because he lives a long time before Morbius gets there. He's he's hanging out, and then Morbius shows up. They have a long conversation, and he dies. And it is that
Morbius,
thing...
you're a doctor,
right? Morbius is a doctor. Stop the flow of blood. Take him to a hospital, or call 911. You have a phone. There's somebody. The same thing happens in Spider-Man 3, the Tobey Maguire one, when Hobgoblin dies, or not Hobgoblin, the Green Goblin 2 dies. His best friend Harry dies, but he gets stabbed or whatever, and then he's laying there a long time. And then instead of being like, I'm Spider-Man, I can Spider-Man you down to the ground and hand you off to a paramedic, they have a long conversation, and then he dies. And I'm like, just get him to the ground. Like, you can talk about this later.
Yeah.
In any case, Martine is mortally injured. He drinks her blood after she dies, but a drop of his blood drips into her mouth.
They kissed, and she bit his lip.
Is that what happened? I didn't get
that.
Which maybe he just thought was her being sexy. I don't know. In any case.
Because he is not a vampire.
Right. He is.
So there's no reason that his blood should be able to turn her into a vampire.
Right. Because remember, in order to turn into a vampire, he had to be injected in the spine with vampire bat DNA. Mm-hmm. Apparently that makes what he has a disease. It would be like if Spider-Man bled on someone and they turned into Spider-Man. I mean, I guess Spider-Man's blood is dangerous. We've seen that happen, but like, you would think that drinking a drop of it wouldn't turn you into a Spider-Man villain. But in any case, spoiler alert, we see her eyes open later on. She is obviously a vampire, which does happen to her in the comics eventually. Martine does become a living vampire. But also, descendants of Morbius, people who are turned into vampires by Morbius in the comics, are not Morbius-level vampires. They are sort of like weaker versions of vampires. Mm-hmm. In any case, he uses his Morbius powers to summon the bats like Batman. The bats hold down, because he has a bat tornado also in his lab. He has a cylinder filled with bats that never stop flying. I don't know why. How do they live? What do they eat? We don't know. But every once in a while, he'll step into the bat tornado just to meditate, I guess. In any case, the bats attack Milo. He holds him down. He injects the cure into him. Milo dies. So it wasn't much of a cure. It was, again, he could have just stabbed him with a stake or a knife or shot him in the face with a gun. I don't know. He flies off. He's like, oh, woe is me. I'm a bat. Martine wakes up. The end. Except, strangely enough, if you look at the time code on your file, there's still 10 minutes left of this movie.
Yep.
The movie ends.
Yep.
And there's 10 minutes left.
Yep.
Because what happens in that 10 minutes?
The multiverse.
The sky splits open, a la Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yep.
And Adrian Toomes, the Vulture from Spider-Man Homecoming, who is in prison in Spider-Man Homecoming, appears in the Morbius universe in prison. In prison. He's in a prison cell. And he's like, this is a different prison cell. That's weird. And then another scene happens. Mm-hmm. And what happens in that? This is the weirdest one.
He has the Vulture suit again.
And he shows up in the desert.
In a place at night. And he's like, yo, Morbius.
And Morbius is driving there, as you said. Why is he driving? We've seen that he can fly. He's driving there in a car. He shows up. And what is, quote, I'm going to put this in air quotes, quote unquote, the Vulture say.
Something about teaming up.
He says something like, this is Spider-Man's fault. Let's make a team.
Yeah.
But this is a long scene because we got to watch Morbius drive through the desert for about 10 hours.
Yes.
Now, where did he get the Vulture suit?
No idea.
How did he get out of prison?
No idea.
Why do you not see Michael Keaton's face in the Vulture suit?
He's not there.
Because he's not there. Because Michael Keaton clearly just... Why are all the scenes with Adrian Toomes from the original trailer not in this movie?
Because the multiverse happened.
Somehow, they knew they were going to use... They filmed Adrian Toomes' scenes for this movie. Then Multiverse of Madness and No Way Home had to switch places in the MCU. They had to completely rethink those two movies. Then No Way Home happened, and the way the villains got into Spider-Man's world obviously changed somehow. The way these crossovers, the way the multiverse was created had to change. And I assume that's why the way Adrian Toomes got into Morbius-verse had to change.
Question.
So they had to cut and refilm everything.
Question.
Yes.
So, spoiler alert for No Way Home if you haven't seen
it. Yes, from here on, spoiler alert for No Way
Why
Home.
Why does Vulture remember Spider-Man?
I don't know. I don't know any of this. Well, No. Everyone remembers Spider-Man. They don't remember Peter
right.
Parker.
Right. Okay.
That's
right.
The thing. They all remember Spider-Man. My thing is why does he think this has anything to do with Spider-Man? Why does he just shows up and he's just a guy. Adrian Toomes is just a guy. He shows up in prison. They're like, what's he doing here? He's like, I think Spider-Man had something to do with this. Obviously, they had to refilm all of this. In the original trailer, he says something to Morbius like, you need to be all you can be or something. Like, it's more of a pep talk. Like, you got to be who you really are. Like, you feel like he gave him a talk or something about, like, being, like, just embracing his powers or something. We don't know. There was a lot of talk that maybe he was this universe's version of Adrian Toomes. That was another thing. Yeah. Like maybe he's not even the Vulture in this universe, or he is, but it's a different Vulture. We don't know. We may never know.
The Vulture is the stupidest name, by the way.
He is a Vulture. He dresses like a Vulture.
It is the stupidest name.
He is a carrion feeder. He picks off the remains of other fights. He feeds off of other fights. He uses...
Then why would you call yourself that? Because that's not a good thing to call yourself.
The Vulture. I don't... Maybe he didn't... Maybe he was given that name. I don't remember. I think maybe Peter Parker called him a Vulture. Like, he looked like a Vulture, like a giant bird. I don't know. And anyways, the Adrian Toomes Vulture is way cooler than the comic book Vulture.
Yes.
You have to admit.
He's not wearing green spandex.
And is not an old man with a pair of Vulture wings.
So
that's how they're trying to tie this into the multiverse. Oh, also, he mentions Venom at one point. He tells a bunch of... He steals a lab from a bunch of money counterfeiters in a scene that's supposed to be funny, I guess, but he does break a man's hand in a million places.
And then he doesn't know how bones work.
Yeah, he's a doctor. He doesn't know how bones work. What does he tell the guy?
2 to 3 weeks, ice it.
Yeah, but he clearly breaks all the man's... He breaks the man's hand, like all of the places. He breaks his fingers. He breaks the hand. You hear it cracking. Yeah, and he's like, take some ibuprofen, you'll be fine. I'm like, no, he won't. But he tells the people are like, who are you? And he tells them he's Venom. He's like, I am Venom. And he makes a scary face. And so like, I was like, okay, so Venom exists in this world. I don't know how they know it's called Venom, but whatever. Also, we know that the Black Cat, another Spider-Man villain, hero, partner, but villain, exists in this world. You see her name in a headline, Black Cat. Mm-hmm. And you know that the Chameleon exists in this world, another Spider-Man villain. We don't know
And we do see a wanted poster for Spider-Man.
We only see the wanted poster for Spider-Man in the trailer.
Oh.
That's been cut from the movie.
So Spooter Boy doesn't exist in this universe.
We don't know. But again, this is my whole thing. Where, like, it's interesting that there would be a bunch of villains in this universe with no Spider-Man to stop them. To me, that's an interesting idea. It's clearly not where they're going because they mentioned Spider-Man at the end. Or Adrian Toomes mentioned Spider-Man and Morbius doesn't go, who? So I don't know. Who is there a Spider-Man in this universe? It's all vague. The Daily Bugle also exists in this universe. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, maybe it's going to be like, so they're going to do like maybe like Man-Wolf. They're going to do like it's a universe with no Spider-Man. I don't know, because Spider-Man wasn't on the cover of any of these Daily Bugles, which he would be if he was. So originally in the trailer, you see a picture of Spider-Man with the word murderer spray painted across it, which led a lot of people to go, OK, does this exist in the MCU after Spider-Man was framed for the murder of Mysterio? We don't know. Or is this like in their universe? Is this the universe with maybe Captain Stacy and Spider-Man was being blamed for his murder? We don't know because none of that is covered. Robot arm isn't covered. None of it's covered because they had to change everything. This movie makes no sense. But there is, we know that at the end, they're kind of trying to set up a Sinister Six of some sort. So Morbius will most likely be back. He probably won't be back in any kind of his own movie.
No.
But he'll probably definitely be back in the next Venom movie, which is certainly coming out. Because this movie only made $160 million at the box office. Also, apparently, the character of Martine was loosely based on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We don't know how.
Great.
We don't know how. That's Morbius, and you loved it so much you wanted to record an episode about
it. I loved it so much. It was a fun movie to watch. I wouldn't pay for it.
Yeah.
But I had a blast watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was fun. It's fun to watch with, it is actually one of those movies that's fun to watch with another person because it's short enough. It's breezy enough, and it's so stupid. Like, and again, I am not a hater. I am not a person who goes in hating movies. I always give movies a fighting chance. Always.
I mean, my whole thing is, did I enjoy watching the movie? Then it's a good movie.
I want to enjoy movies, like sometimes to my detriment, but I always want to enjoy movies. Mm-hmm. I like liking movies. This movie's bad. This is a bad movie.
It's a bad movie.
There's worse.
Oh, yeah.
There's far worse. I'm going to watch this movie again before I watch some MCU movies.
I'm going to watch this movie again before I watch Antlers again.
Yes, it's more enjoyable than Antlers. I remembered this movie far more than I remembered Antlers.
There's no bad words wall, unfortunately, but you know, you take some, you can lose some.
But do you know what could have improved this movie?
What?
Guillermo del Toro.
That's true. He would have done an awesome job on this
movie. I mean, we've kind of seen it. It's called Blade 2, but...
Yeah.
I think a Guillermo del Toro Morbius movie would have been a lot of fun. He would have known what to do with it and how to have fun with it.
It wouldn't have had Jared Leto in it.
It wouldn't have. It'd have like Ron Perlman in it playing someone. But also, originally, I guess there was talk of Morbius appearing in the main MCU because there was talk of him fighting Mahershala Ali's Blade, who's coming up. Mm-hmm. But who knows what's going to happen with it now? I mean, he can cross through that. He can go through one of the multiverse cracks, I guess. Maybe America, what's her face, will show up and transport him into another multiverse verse. I can't think of her name, the new Doctor. In any case,
I haven't seen it yet. So
another movie that I probably won't be watching again anytime soon because I thought it was a bit of a letdown. In any case, we'll talk about that in our future MCU coverage. If there's another Morbius movie, we will definitely be covering it on here.
Yes.
But until then, I think we're done with this way too long episode on Morbius, the living vampire.
Morbius, Morb time. That was Morb time with Phil and Willow.
That was Morb time with Phil and Willow. We'll be covering every issue of every Morbius comic book in the future.
After we finish that's our plan after we finish
The Ecstasy of Influence.
The Ecstasy of Influence.
We're going to do an issue-by-issue breakdown of every Morbius comic. You know what? I started reading a lot of the old Morbius comics. Mm-hmm. And they are definitely old comics. That's my review. I am Phil.
And I'm Willow.
And we'll see you next time with an Akira Kurosawa movie that is not about vampires called Ron.
No. Yes.
When
it's Del Toro time.